Bay Church Community Radio with the best in contemporary gospel, with preaching and teaching from the UK and beyond. Broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is UK Church Community Radio.
And now on UK Church Community Radio, it's Truth for Today with international speaker and author Sam Gordon.
I want you to turn back with me again this morning, dear friends, this wonderful psalm that we've read together. It's Psalm 139, what we could easily call a folk song of faith. And I reckon this one is an all-time classic. It was penned by David, as sometimes we call him the Shepherd King. Other times we speak of him as being the sweet psalmist of Israel. And if you know anything about David's very interesting life, he had his fair share of ups and downs, just like you and just like me. Essentially, David has been through what we would call the best of times and the worst of times. Yet under the anointing of the Spirit, one day he picked up the quill and wrote these breathtakingly beautiful words. And basically, this psalm that we have read together is all about God. I mean, from start to finish, it's all about him. He is right there in every single verse. You read the psalm perhaps this afternoon or later this evening, and you can't miss seeing him. Like one of old, we read the psalm and we stand in awe of him. And it seems to me, dear friends, that David answers the very simple question, a searching question, that many people are asking even in 2016. What is God like? If I met him, for example, in Cribbs Causeway on a Saturday morning, how would I really know it was him? And that's what this psalm basically is all about. Here are four things God wants you and me to know about him. When reading the psalm, you probably picked up, I'm sure, there are four stanzas, each one having six verses, hence the four things God wants you and me to know about him. The first thing God wants you and I to know about him today is found in the first half dozen verses, and we can write in big, bold letters something like this: God's perception is astonishing. His perception is astonishing. Now, let's put it ever so simply, and I said reverently when I said this morning, that means that your God and my God is a know-all. There's absolutely nothing that he does not know. Now, for you and me reading that verse today, that section today, I suppose it depends how we look at it, doesn't it? For some of us, we might find it rather scary. We may find it intimidating. We may want to do a runner. But on the other hand, I'm sure for many of us here today, we read these words and we find them so comforting, so massively reassuring, to be able to say with conviction, God knows. What a difference that makes in your life and mine. And in many ways, that's the heartbeat of this entire psalm. David says all that really needs to be said, and it's right there in the opening verse. But you see what David goes on to tell us? Basically, before David goes anywhere, he comes to one conclusion. And it simply underlines what I've just been sharing with you, that God knows all there is to know about you and me. You see that word there in the first verse, that word searched, that actually means to explore. It means to examine. It's you and I digging down deeper and deeper and deeper. It's when we come to a point in our lives where we want to actually get to the bottom of something. Now, we gather here Sunday by Sunday, we take a look at one another, but you know, we only see one another what's on the outside. But the living God comes to your heart and mind this beautiful Sunday morning, and he scrapes away all that is on the outside, and he knows what's going on in the depths of your heart and the innermost recesses of your mind. There is absolutely nothing about you and me that he does not know. In fact, our God sees what no one else is able to see. You've heard the saying, he knows what makes us tick. He can read your life and mine like reading the proverbial book. And that's exactly what David is saying. When it comes to your life and mine, God knows all there is to know. But then he doesn't stop there, does he? Because he sort of teases it out a wee bit down there in verse 2 to verse 5. He amplifies his thinking. And again, you take a look at what he's saying. And he just covers every eventuality in life. Here is a God who leaves no stone unturned. We can summarize it like this. It doesn't matter where we go. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't even matter what we feel or how we feel. Dot, dot, dot. God knows all about it. Look at it, dear friends. Every moment of every single day, every step, each mile along life's way, David tells me right here that we are surrounded by him. Here is the God who goes before us, but it's the same unchanging God who is following behind us. And then, mystery of mysteries, he is right there beside us. I mean, you can't get any better than that, can you? And you know what that is telling us today? That your God and mine has a profound interest in every one of us. I mean, we are his blood-bought, ransomed children. And because that's who we are today, in the family of God. And he is a gracious, loving Father committed to you and to me. This God keeps his eye on the big picture. True. But he's also very much aware of what's penned in the small print on the other side of the document of your life and mine. Let me put it like this. He knows when you and I come home of an evening, we sit down, you maybe do stuff on Facebook, you maybe catch up on a few emails, or he knows when you're out there on the go, out there in the fast lane. He knows when you pop into Costa or Starbucks for a cappuccino with a friend. How do I know that's true? You see what he says down there in verse 3? And here's a paraphrase. He says, every moment you know where I am. Isn't that amazing? And you see, friends, that is true in those major life-changing events that we all experience and encounter. But it's no less a wonderful reality when you are engaged in the boringly insignificant, mediocre, mundane details of life. He knows them all. And even more unbelievable, through it all and in it all, what does the Lord do in your life and mine? Well, we glean from verse 5 in the New Living Translation that he actually places his hand of blessing on our head. Do you get that? Because that's all that really matters in your life and mine. That we might know the fullness of God's best blessing resting upon us. And you know what encourages me again when I read these words this morning? That God knows what you and I will never, ever know. He knows what you and I are not even meant to know. And as you reflect in your life, and I look back over many years in mine, through all the twists and turns on life's tortuous journey, you and I can say this morning with glee and with gratitude, Father knows. Father knows. In fact, I would take it a step further and affirm today that Father knows best. Yeah? Any wonder David says what he does down there in verse 6? He shouts in an exclamation, as it were, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. That's the first of four things that God wants you to know about himself. His perception is astonishing. Look at the very next paragraph. I think it's no less enthralling. And it stretches from verse 7 away down to the end of verse 12. Do you know what it tells me here? Point number 2. That God's presence is awesome. God's presence is awesome. I mean, it's something unavoidable. And you see what the psalmist is reminding us? He says, look, guys, we can't outwit God because he knows all there is to know about us. And then he says, number two, we can't outrun God either. And the punchline is this: it doesn't matter where we go, our God is there already. That's what you have down there in verse 7. I would rephrase it, put it something like this. The psalmist is saying, I can never get away from your presence. And then you see what he does, something similar to what he did in the first section. He says, look, folks, you can climb to the summit of the highest mountain. He says, you can sink like a stone to the depths of an ocean. He says, you can follow the sun when it rises in the east and it sets in the west. He says, you can travel from here beyond these shores to the ends of the earth. And guess what? Well, north, south, east, west, up, down, the message is our God is already there. That's what makes his presence awesome. And you know, my friends, the won't go away fact this morning is simply this: that whether we're here, and we are, or whether we're there, or perhaps somewhere over yonder, here is the message: the Lord is with us. Do you get that? The Lord is with us. We can never shake him off our trail. You and I are never, even for a fleeting moment, beyond the divine reach. And in light of what David says right here, that means two things. Number one, it means that he will lead us and guide us with his very own hand. And then number two, it means that he will support us and strengthen us. And those are the twin promises we have down there in verse 10. And if you and I sink our teeth into those, my friends, they are potentially life-changing. His presence is awesome. And you know, it's easier for you and I to gather here this morning, to let all of this stuff go right over the top of our head, as it were. I mean, we're overwhelmed with the sheer wonder and delight of it all. But even though we can't explain it, don't let that rob you of the joy and the thrill of living in the good of it. You see how intimate it all is? We can say this morning something like this: he knows me, he leads me, he holds me, he keeps my head above water. See how intimate it all is? And that's what you and I discover when we lift the lid, as it were, of verses 11 and 12. Because if the truth be told, and it has to be told, there are those dark hours in your soul and in mine. There are those moments in your life and mine when we feel as if God has forgotten all about us, and at times we sometimes feel rejected and abandoned. There are those seasons of sorrow and distress when we feel enveloped in an inky black darkness. But you know, dear friends, even there and even then, you know what the message is? Do you know it from your own experience? And I do as well. The Lord is with us. Don't just take my word for it. You go back through the pages of Scripture. Look at many of the characters of the Bible that we know so well. Let me highlight one or two for you. What about Daniel? Relatively young fellow, thrown into a den of hungry lions. He lived to tell the tale, didn't he? God gave them lockjaw. He was there, but God was there with him. Go a few pages elsewhere in the book of Daniel. Three young Hebrew teenagers, as it were, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. What happened to them? Well, they wouldn't toe the party line. They refused to bow down when the music played. What happened? Well, they were thrown alive into a towering inferno. And the reality is, they would never, ever have survived. But you know the story, don't you? The king couldn't sleep in his bed at night. He got up, went down, looked through the aperture in the furnace, and he couldn't believe his eyes. One, two, three, four. And he thought he was seeing things. And then he looked again. One, two, three. Yes, there is a fourth person in there. But who is the fourth? Even this ungodly king realized it is one like the Son of God. And you know, my friends, the message of the promise of the book of Isaiah became a reality for those three young men. They discovered that God was with them in the fire and in the flames. That's where the presence of God is awesome. I just love the way the psalmist David portrays it right here. He says that dark times are light to God. In other words, if it's 12 noon or 12 midnight, David says here, it makes no difference to him. But look, friends, he's the one who makes a difference to you and to me. And he sees you, even though you may not be able to see him. And the thought that we have right here is that our God is not a fair weather friend. No, no. He's with us on those bright, warm, sunny days. Thank God. But he's also close by. When we find ourselves in the shade and in the shadow. That's the second thing God wants us to know today about himself. His presence is awesome. The third thing is found in verse 13 through as far as verse 18. Do you know what it tells me right here? That God's power is amazing. His power is amazing. And again, you see what he's doing? He shines the torchlight, as it were, on the ability of our God. And you know, friends, the God that we meet right here, he's a hands-on God. I mean, he's a God who can do anything. Number one, we can't outwit him because he knows all there is to know. We can't outrun him because he's all over the place. But right here, we certainly can't outdo him. Because here is a God who is omnipotent. You remember Solomon in a moment of wisdom declared, writing the book of Ecclesiastes, here is the God who brought something out of nothing. And it's the same one, said Solomon, who made everything beautiful in his time. You see what David does? When he takes a look into his mother's womb, he just breaks forth in fulsome praise, in adoring worship. And he says down there in verse 14, he says, I praise you, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do you know what that is? That's a fitting tribute to the skills of a creator God. I mean, we see it in the world around us, don't we? But we also see it in the lives of men and women, boys and girls, on a global scale. The reality is this, no two of us are alike. You have your DNA and I have mine. You leave your footprint on the sand of time and I follow behind you and I leave mine. Somebody said one day, when God made me, he threw away the mold. In other words, there's only one of me. But guess what? There's only one of you. That's where we're all different, special to him. David says right here that every fibre of our being, it is formed and fashioned by him. Here is the one who knits it all together with a skillful touch. The bones, the vital organs, the tissue, the veins, the muscle, the tendons. David says all of this is woven like a tapestry in a mother's womb. They tell me that you and I have over 3 trillion cells in our body. You get that? 3 trillion. You know what that is, don't you? Well, it's a 3, obviously. But how many zeros are after it? There are 12 zeros after it. And that's in your body. And that's in mine. My friend, only God can do the like of that. His power is amazing. And David affirms right here, doesn't he? From the moment of conception up to the moment of birth, this God is in full control. I love the way he puts it here. He has his hand on the young mother and he has his finger on the unborn child. He knows what's going on inside the womb. And when the baby arrives into this world, the Lord knows what the future of that child will be. Isn't that breathtaking? Phenomenal. The Lord knows, said David, how long we will live on this planet. He's got a note, as it were, in a journal somewhere in heaven. He knows the day that we were born, but he also has penciled in the date of our death. That's a somber thought, but it's true. And at the very same time, we also read down here, don't we, that every moment was laid out before a single day passed. You know what that really does mean? It means that he knows what you will be doing this time tomorrow morning. It means that he knows what you will be doing this time next year. He knows what we do 24/7, 365. My friend, nothing takes him by surprise. He's never caught in the back foot, as it were. He's got a plan for your life and for mine. One more time, David is knocked off his feet. He's bowled over with the reality of it all. You know, these great truths, they're just so meaningful, so precious. They mean so much to him. And I suppose in a sense that's what keeps David plodding on day after day. In fact, he says there's so many of them. There's even more than the grains of sand on the beaches of the world. David thinks about the Lord. But to crown it all, the Lord never stops thinking about him. He says, look, folks, when I wake up in the morning, wipe the sleep off my eyes, pull back the curtain, look out the window, he says, God, this powerful God, is still with me. My friends, the message is, nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is too difficult for him. His power is amazing. The final section, spanning verse 19 to verse 24, here we discover the fourth thing God wants you to know about himself. It's his purity. It's astounding. Aren't we humbled when we read this final section? We can't outshine God, because here is one who is dazzling in his holiness. And in many ways, the final section, at least part of it, is almost like an anticlimax, isn't it? But David is a realist. He doesn't bury his head in the sand. He knows a thing or two about the enemy, and so he tells it like it is down there. And my friend, if we're honest, there are moments in your life and mine when we have felt just like David. True? Do we not wish the Lord would intervene in people's lives? Do we not long for the day when God would step into a situation and turn it right side up? Do we not pray for God to work a miracle, stem the tide of evil sweeping across our nation? Do we never get hot under the collar when we see injustice of one kind or another? Do we not cringe when we hear that sweet, precious name of Jesus dragged into the gutter? Are we not heartbroken when we read of lives being lost for whatever reason? That's what you have right there at the end of the psalm. And you see, the bottom line is simply this in verse 22, where David declares that your enemies are my enemies. In other words, when it comes to following Jesus and going God's way, we can't sit on the fence. We're either there or there. That said, it all gets very personal in the final two verses, doesn't it? He scratches where we're itching. And my friend, here is David's all-consuming passion. He says, search me, O God. It's one thing looking at people around us. It's one thing seeing events unfolding in the drama of today's world. But he says it involves me. Search me, O God. Because God's holiness not only impacts in those who were wicked, it leaves an impression, an indelible impression in your heart and mine as well. Basically, David right here, having caught a vision of how great and how big is his God, he just wants to be all that God intends for him to be. He wants to find his full potential realized in a closer walk with his God. And David knows full well that if he's going to influence his generation, he must be a man after God's own heart. It was the saintly Robert Murray McShane who said one day that a holy man is an awesome weapon in the hand of a holy God. And when we have caught a glimpse, even this morning, albeit briefly, of who God is, maybe our cry should be this morning from the depths of our hearts, again to quote McShane, Lord, make me as holy as it is possible for a saved sinner to be. It's the end of the psalm, but only the beginning of the outworking of those truths in your life and mine. That God knows all there is to know about every one of us. That God is with us day after day, night after night. That God's power is such he can do anything but fail. And God's purity is whiter than white. You see, my friends, before the one who is seated on that higher throne, we bow down in a song of praise and a song of worship, and we say, my God, how great, how wonderful thou art. Amen.
If you want to find out a wee bit more about us, go on to my brand new website, truthfortoday.co.uk. There's even photographs there you can throw darts at, and a full bio and all the rest of it, and loads of freebie material too. Lots of Bible studies, etc., etc., etc. So I commend it to you, truthfortoday.co.uk.